Now it helped me in my early Christian life. I struggle and wrestle with it. And it's so common for us to call the curse of the law the sufferings of Jesus. But they are not equated. The curse of the law is the curse of the law. The sufferings of Jesus that he prophesied, that he said will take place, were a different set altogether. Now, those details we're going to look at in 1 Peter. But we are laying groundwork for the theology. Colossians chapter 1, please. In verse 24, Paul said, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Number two, the sufferings that Paul talks about are things that he could have chosen not to go in. See, many people, when they're struck by disaster, they're struck by a sickness, or struck by something that they can't control, and they call it suffering. Of course, that is suffering. But suffering in general and the sufferings of Jesus are different. Let's not classify the word of knowledge as general knowledge. Let's not classify the gift of tongues as, you know, normal human language alone, because it can be spiritual language, language of angels, anything. Let's remember, classification is one of the keys to a proper theology. And the key to understanding anything is to properly classify. Here we have Paul talking about suffering. That's fine. But he's not talking about normal suffering. At any time, Paul could have chosen not to have all these things. If he left and turned his back and walked out from the ministry. But when he chose the ministry and he chose to follow the call of God, to bring the gospel to areas that are hard and tough, there was suffering involved. But those sufferings were sufferings by choice and not sufferings that were forced upon him. They were sufferings that he took upon himself. There were many sufferings. Look at the book of Acts. Some of the prophecies that were spoken about his life. Acts chapter 9. Ananias had a prophecy for the Apostle Paul. And among those prophecies are Acts chapter 9, verse 16. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus didn't say that he will suffer, but Jesus said, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know why he has to show him first? Because he has a choice. He has a choice. Now let's look at some of the things he suffered in the book of 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 11. And here Paul got stirred up and he talked about what he went through. Verse 23. Are they ministers of God? You got it? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I receive 40 stripes minus 1. That's 39 times 5. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. That's somewhere in the ocean. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Hey, look, like he's poor here. No, he's not. There's a difference. Poverty is not a choice for many people. But here, he had a choice. At any time, if Paul had left the ministry, he could earn a good income. Everything in the natural was for him. Number one, he had the best training anybody could have. Brought under the feet of Gamaliel. He had intellectual capability, which he could excel above all the other people of those times. That's number two, to his natural advantage. Number three, he had a natural skill. Acts 18 tells us he was a tent maker. Could earn a good living. At any time, Paul could have said, I don't have to go without food. I don't have to sleep right here out in the streets with nowhere to go. I don't have to have all this nakedness and lack. See, outwardly everything looks like he was suffering poverty. But there's a difference. Poverty is not a choice. It's something that the devil did to people. But here he's talking about a choice he made. Paul was going to spend so much time giving himself to the ministry. And he had a choice. At any time, he could have said no to any of this. A lot of people who quote-unquote are suffering could never say no. In fact, they can't help where they are. But Paul could help where he was. The moment he said, I'm not going to do this anymore, he would be free and he would live in a prosperous life, a comfortable life as a rabbi, teaching and earning some income on the side, having a tent-making incorporation. And, you know, he could have a good life. He could have a good home and a good living. But by choice, he gave all these things up and live over here to reach out to them to save souls. So that's number two. The theology of suffering involves a free choice, not something that we are forced or coerced into. And number three is important. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Look at point number three. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Number one is Christ suffering or sufferings for His name's sake. Number two, there is a free choice involved. Paul could choose. Right? And we could look at more verses, but we just don't have time to look more. And I can give some. Like in Philippians, he says, I'm in a strait between two things. To go to be with Jesus now, or to stay and be with you. Now to stay and be with, that means he got more things to do and more sufferings to go through. But he says he chose to stay because of the need. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 10 and 11. And the third point is, all sufferings have a time limit. Now you know it's not just normal suffering. It's not eternal suffering. It's not even permanent temporal suffering. The kind of suffering Jesus talks about. You remember how Jesus sometimes tells his disciples, come and rest a while. I mean, Paul, after he had gone and he had gone and gone, he could stop and say, alright, I think I need some refreshing. And he could go back here, refresh himself, sleep on a comfortable bed, which he was sleeping on cement floors all the time, and rested, and all his bruises were healed, and the places where he was stoned all got nicely healed. He said, alright, I'm ready to go now. Right, at any time. So the third point is important. There is a time limit to the sufferings of Jesus that He apportions each one of us to bear. It is not forever and ever and ever, day and night, 24 hours a day, 60 minutes every hour, 60 seconds for every minute, non-stop. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul says in verse 10 and 11, "But if you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, everyone say all. my all sounds like oil, right? Okay. All. Some of your all sound like all. Thank God that He didn't deliver them out of the oars. But He delivered them. He says, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. All those sufferings were temporary, although they were the fellowship of His sufferings. Number three, it has a time limit. There are cycles of it, because it's part of God's plan that each time before you get promoted, inwardly you get demoted. The way up is the way down. The more in our inside we get humbled, the more God exalts you on the outside. And each time the cross takes place in your life, the more you get humble in me. And the more God exalts you. And so God, as He wants to deal with our life, has cycles for us to go through. And sometimes you struggle, you see, you don't want to go through, God is patient, you wait. For some people, He has been waiting for 40 years. They are almost conked out now. We wonder whether they will ever cross the Jordan River. So there is a time limit. I better give some scripture reference. Now, remember Paul said once he was stoned? Well, we know when he was stoned. That is Acts chapter 14, he was stoned. So let's look at that. Acts 14 verse 19, "The Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." Well, it looks tremendous that Paul went through all these things. "However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." And you would have thought that after that stoning, Paul would never ever set foot back into that place. But remember, out of them all, the Lord delivered him. And when that phase and that period was over, and anyway, there's another teaching on that about Psalms 91, but let's look here in Acts chapter 14. After that, in verse 21, don't forget verse 21. Acts 14:21. "When they had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, they returned." Wow. He went back to the same city that stoned him. "They returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the disciples. And they appointed elders in every church, and they said, 'We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God.' And a prosperous church was set up." There is a time limit to the sufferings of the Lord. Of the Lord. Even by these three points, we have excluded many of what people call the sufferings of Jesus. And so some people begin to panic when they hear all these things and say, "Brother, you are talking about all those things. Then what kind of sufferings am I suffering?" The devil. They are caused by the devil. And that's why we need the epistle of 1 Peter. Secretly hidden in this epistle are five classifications of the sufferings, or trials, or temptations that every Christian experiences. Incidentally, the word trials and temptations are the same Greek word. They are regarded as the same thing in scriptural theology. And each chapter is special. So in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, and each time he speaks something about conduct, there's always a key verse followed by a conduct. So we will read, because we are not teaching verse by verse, we are just teaching the whole book. We will pick the themes of each chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1.